The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin in the morning. A lot of football today. Kelly, how you doing, man? You good?
Good, man. I just realized we're kind of matching. Hey, did anything happen last night?
You got a little purple in you?
I got a little reddish purple.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit more solid purple.
Right. Trying to say you're more solid? No, just saying. What happened last night? What were you saying?
I don't know. Something with a running back or something?
Sports Equinox and a big trade.
Sports Equinox.
Christian McCaffrey going from... Oh, I'm sorry. You were going
to
say?
I was just going to say, I was tired of the Sports Equinox phrase by the second time I heard it yesterday.
Me too.
I was like, cool, there's a lot of sports going on.
That's a lot of sports. That means every sport was available to bet, and oh, it was a good one. We will talk about the Christian McCaffrey trade, in case you missed that, late last night, from the Panthers to the Niners. That, of course, topping everything. But on the show today, Dr. Bob with a college football play. By the way, I always love when people get, some people are like, wow, Bob, 5 minutes on one game. You know what his record is on this show, lifetime? 70-49.
That's pretty good.
You can be as thorough as you want if you go 70-49. Paul Carr with a triple pack of Premier League picks. Paul Carr going for his fifth straight winning week on Premier League picks.
Another one.
Yeah.
He's been on fire.
Fire. Right Angle Sports boys are going to be here. Michael Craig. I think it's Mike and Mike today from Right Angle Sports. They'll be in to talk college football and about their college basketball preparation, actually, this morning on the show. Matt Brown with a full bevy of NFL picks. Adam Burke with his thoughts on the NFL and the baseball playoffs. Let's start with, I guess we'll start with some picks. Let's get to last night's game, too. But first of all, with the picks, yesterday, Marie Buskova got home for us in tennis as a +143 dog against Ludmila Samsonova. The numbers bore out. Sure didn't in the first set. She got bageled. But then you could tell in that last game of the first set, she figured something out because that game lasted forever and she came back and won it. So a big win for those who bet the tennis pick. We have two tennis plays today. Both are dogs. One is short in terms of a dog and one is a massive dog. The short dog is Emil Ruusuvuori, who I got last night at +112 over Francis Tiafoe. Tiafoe is sort of gassed here down the stretch. And here's the thing. Ruusuvuori is like my Irvin Santana. I used to say this about Irvin Santana when I bet baseball. Whenever I was on him, he pitched terribly. Whenever I was against him, he was Cy Young. So I do have that going on with Ruusuvuori. So that's a caution. But I like Ruusuvuori here. It's all based, again, on the data. 6 month, 1 year. Indoor hards is what we're talking about right now. And then this one may be enjoyable for some of you. Mikael Ymer, which is, I believe it's Swedish for Michael Weimer, but it's Mikael Ymer, +311 is what I got him. I saw +298 before I walked in here this morning, still playable, over Stefanos Tsitsipas, of course, one of the top 10 players in the world. Ymer has never beaten Tsitsipas in four tries, but I believe based on the numbers, he is poised to do so today, so we're taking a flyer on that.
He's also the... currently the number one ranked Swedish player.
Thank you. His brother Elias was up like a set in four love on Tiafoe yesterday and gacked it.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Is he the second ranked Swedish player?
I'm gonna guess so. I'm gonna guess that could be the case. So those are your two tennis plays again: Ruusuvuori and Ymer on the tennis side. Now, as far as the football game last night, we want to get the pick. You have a basketball pick? You want to get that out?
I do have one, yeah. I actually do have one tonight. Played Rudy Gobert over his points and rebounds at 31.5, I believe is the number I have. Yeah, 31.5 points and rebounds. Playing the Jazz tonight, obviously a little bit of a revenge angle there, but if you watch the game the other night with the Minnesota Timberwolves, you saw Rudy Gobert much more involved in this offense. It was something that we, a lot of us kind of expected to see with the move to Minnesota. The Utah Jazz really not utilizing him in offense much on that team over the past couple years. You saw him utilize a lot there on Wednesday night against Oklahoma City Thunder, 10 for 15 from the field. Yes, a lot of it was cleaning up some missed shots and stuff like that, but some design pick and rolls with Gobert crashing to the basket, some lob plays. So he had 23 and 16 in game one of the season. I'm going over 31.5 points and rebounds with Gobert against the Jazz tonight.
All right, one more pick from yesterday. I also have the Padres today. You may recall -110 was what I got. It's only a couple cents more than that now. Game three of the best of seven National League Championship Series between the Padres and the Phillies. I do not understand understand that line. Do not understand it. Musgrove against Suarez. Astros go up 2-0 on the Yankees yesterday. 3-2 win. Bregman, leaflet, three-run jack was all the Astros ended up needing, even though Valdez had a sort of error-filled next half inning, but he was able to overcome it. Astros hold on 3-2, so congratulations to everybody at the Astros. I was not involved in that one. So Padres today, Padres on the series, my two baseball bets that are active right now. All right, football last night. Before we get to the trade, the game last night, Cardinals beat the Saints 42-34. Kelly, I ended up having, now I apologize to the numbers game audience, but when I did the Megapod after this, Aaron Schatz was our guest with Todd Wishnev, Jeff Parles, and I, we have to come up with three best bets. I gave my first two, and then the third one, I was just like, I think I like the Cardinals better than everything else. Yeah. So I ended up playing them, and I bet it, and then on Wes and Femi's show last night, I ended up playing the Cardinals in game as well when they were down 7-3, but Bradley Roby got hurt for the Saints because they already had guys in the secondary, not only Marshawn Lattimore, but they also had Paulson Adebu, who was already out. At that point, I was just like, if you can't beat them now without human bodies, you're never going to win. Now, they ended up going up, by the way, the Saints did, 14-6 even after that. And by the way, it ended up being a millions pick for me, too, for the same justification as what I was talking about on the Megapod. The Saints did end up going up 14-6 in this game. There was nary a punt in the first half of this ballgame. Just back and forth. 14-6 again. And the Cardinals then subsequent Arizona drive, 12 plays, 4th-and-1 at the New Orleans 4. They went for it with 3:12 left in the second quarter. Murray keeper, next play. They got that, by the way. Next play, Keontae Ingram, 2-yard run. Then a 2-point conversion where to Eno Benjamin, where he made a very easy run look difficult, and there was a low block that wasn't called. It came 14-14. I would love to tell you who made the low block, but I can't rewind still. I still have no idea how to do so.
I tried to do that once last night, too. I'm like, I still haven't figured this out.
I still have no idea how to do it. And I still don't know how to record. I'm old. Second play for the Saints then. And here's all the game that you needed. We're not going to go through the second half because the second half was kind of academic. But this is the only portion of the game you really needed to know. Second play for the Saints, 14-14 game of the subsequent drive, 2-minute warning. First play after that, Andy Dalton pass bounces off Marquez Callaway into the hands of Marco Wilson, 38 yards to the house, 20-14 Arizona. Rodrigo Blankenship, who had already made a couple field goals, he went wide left on the PAT, so it's 20-14. And then the subsequent drive, fifth play from scrimmage, after Callaway couldn't secure a pass on the right sideline that would have easily gone for a first down, now you have 57 seconds left in the half. Dalton picked by Isaiah Simmons. He turns on the Jets. Man, was he moving. 56 yards to the house. Successful 2-point conversion to make up for the missed PAT before from Murray to Ertz. 28-14 in Arizona. They were getting the ball first in the second half. They ended up punting. That was the first punt of the game. But really, the second half, Kelly, was all academic because the Saints never got within one score.
Yeah. It was, I watched some of that second half. Yeah, I mean, look, I think that game could have been a lot. With all those injuries the Saints had, you take away those two pick sixes, right? This game could have been a lot more interesting.
100%.
I was on the Cardinals. You know, you ended up being on the Cardinals. We actually both ended up playing them in the contest, too. But I don't know what to take away from the Arizona side. Obviously, Hopkins being back is big. We can confirm that. We thought that was going to be true.
10
even
catches.
In game one, right?
10 catches for 103 yards.
Yeah, we thought even yesterday when we were talking about that was going to be big for Kyler even in game one. But, man, I that's all I kept thinking about watching the second half is how much closer this game could be if you didn't have two pick sixes.
Yeah.
And if you're the Saints going forward, I mean, if you're throwing pick sixes, why is my boy Jameis on the sideline? I mean, come on.
Well, Dennis Allen at halftime, when they came back, what did you say to Andy Dalton? He's like, keep doing the same thing. He was like, and they ended up with 494 total yards, but they were minus 3 in turnovers, and two of those were pick sixes, and you're not going to win football games that way. So I'm with you. Like, I don't really like, even though it got home for us, I'm not like, see, the Cardinals are back. Like,
I was so right about that one. Yeah. Did you catch the dust up in the second half at all that Jameis got in the middle of to break up on the sidelines?
Oh, no.
It was cracking me up.
By the way, there was, I was doing my second half notes just in case something happened during the game last night. And I'm like, 3-and-out, 3-and-out, 4-and-out, 3-and-out. Awkward Taylor Swift promo, 3-and-out.
That was on the Al Michaels breakdown of Taylor Swift. He's like, well, Kirk, she's really popular all over the world and teenagers everywhere. And I'm like, this is fantastic. Please keep talking about Taylor Swift, Al Michaels.
More poorly placed promo for anything. I'll put Taylor Swift in the middle of a Thursday night football game. And then the Christian McCaffrey trade came down, which really overshadowed everything. Christian McCaffrey goes, despite missing 23 of 33 games the last two seasons prior to this one. He is involved in 85% of the snaps thus far this year for the Panthers. But we knew this was coming after the Matt Rhule firing, that Carolina could go in full tank. And they have. McCaffrey traded to the Niners for a second, third, and fourth next year. Talk about second, third, and fourth round draft picks in 2023 and a fifth rounder in 2024. Niners had a bunch of picks for compensatory reasons for other teams poaching their coaches. Talking about Saleh and Mayhew to Washington. So there was a bunch of that happening. But really now the Niners are left with only two picks in the third round next year. No picks in the first, no picks in the second, no picks in the fourth. But what do they care? They're going for it now. But the thing is, Kelly, is that I already had Niners, NFC, and Super Bowl futures from when they decided we're going to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. So those look better now. I like them that much more, obviously. I already 3 weeks in a row have picked on the Panthers in Survivor. I thought that they were the worst team in football 3 weeks ago. Now, my goodness, are they a pick-on team in Survivor? Will this change the number one pick in Survivor this week from the Patriots to the Buccaneers? Maybe. And by the way, how about that adjusted season win total we gave on the Panthers a couple weeks back when there was like 5.5 or 6? Do you do it at 4.5 now? All of that looking great. But we sort of grandfathered into everything here.
Yep.
Well, we'll answer the question here later on the show. Does this make the Niners that much bigger of a contender to you in the NFC? I believe it does. Coming back with Dr. Bob and college football next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. And start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well. Kelly, you had a Carolina to have the worst record bet as well.
Yeah, I made that. I think it was after week two is when I made that bet. So 13-1 on that. I'm like, it's looking better every week.
What's that going to get reposted at today?
Oh, man. I haven't checked that market in weeks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there are a couple bad teams. But I don't know. What would you think? 3-1 or something like that on them?
Not even.
You think it's shorter than that?
Yeah. Like, I mean, this is one of these weird, like, I don't remember. I'm trying to think of an equivalent.
Like, the Bears are bad, too.
They are bad. But the Bears, like, have some life, at least. Remember, Robbie Anderson was scuttled last week, too. So there's no McCaffrey. There's no Anderson. Now, they do say they're going to keep DJ Moore in Carolina because they view him as a foundational piece.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But this is a tank for a quarterback if you've ever seen one now. And by the way, that should be their strategy for these college, for this crop of quarterbacks coming out, whether it's Bryce Young, whether it's, you know, Levis, yeah, whoever it is.
I mean, the other name that I've heard floated out there is Brian Burns possibly being on the trading block. But that's, I mean, you'd think they'd get a lot more for him.
We apologize, though, because this is one of these rare occasions where we've grandfathered in perfectly to this trade. On both ends,
yeah.
Whether it's the Niners to win something, whether it's the Panthers to suck. And like I said, even though some of these Survivor entries aren't still alive, I've picked on them 3 weeks already. Now, again, I'll say this for Survivor. Does that become, because right before Survivor, it was going to be New England was going to be the number one. I probably still think they will be. Raiders probably number two. But now will people pick Tampa Bay who still have them available who are like, you know what, I can't not pick Tampa Bay. Because as I said yesterday when we were going through Survivor, your next chance to use Tampa Bay would be the home game, really. Your next best chance. The home game against Carolina. But that's week 17. These things might not be alive then.
It's not making it to week 17.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think it is.
Ladies.
I think it's still going with the Patriots, though.
Patriots are still, you won't be using them again. And it could be Mac Jones on Monday night now. We'll see about that. Dr. Bob joins us, ladies and gentlemen, to talk college football with us. the history of his picks on this show, once again, we mentioned last segment, 70 and 49, his total record on this, both for spreads and totals. And so if he goes on for 4 minutes explaining something, we will indulge him. The great Dr. Bob. Bob Stoll, how you doing, Bob?
I'm doing fine. You know, it takes me longer than 4 minutes to talk about one game, Gil.
I do know that. But while I was making the point.
How long is your show?
I'm not going to tell you because you'll use it all. No, what I was just saying, I appreciate that about you. And if you're going to go 70 and 49, have at it, is what I'm saying. Why would people complain?
Well, people always do. You know, I mean, I don't know, maybe it was week two or three or four, something like that. I had a couple weeks where I didn't win. And I was like, well, geez, I started out the season with some winners. I had last week, you know, the Green Bay Jets under one. You know, just it's funny how you lose two games in a row and people just rip you like you. I'm like, you got to be kidding. Yeah. That's the problem with gamblers.
I got one better for you. The last 2 days, right, I had the Padres. They were down 4-0. I had Marie Buscova yesterday. She got bageled in the first set. You don't think there were people out there, you suck at the – they both won. So it's not even it's not even after the game. It's during the event itself.
And it doesn't even matter. I had a play – two or three weeks ago, I had Temple getting a bunch of points from UCF, and they lost 70-13. And people were like, your model needs fixing. You know, I don't believe that's embarrassing. I'm like, it doesn't matter whether you lose a bet by 35 or lose it by one. It all counts the same. And by the way, I'm still 64% on the season on my college best bets after that loss. I'm like, what is your problem? Like, did you just lose your entire bankroll that you built up because I lost one game by 35 points? I mean, it's that people just the overreaction is what the difference between, I always say this, the difference between gamblers and investors is that gamblers have a short-term mentality, and they think you need to win every single week. I mean, the stock market doesn't go up every week or every month. It's still a good investment long-term, regardless of the short-term, you know, fluctuations in the market, and people need to think about this the same way. If you've got a good handicapper and you're good in tennis or I'm good in college football, whatever, stick with it. 1 week doesn't prove anything, good or bad. I can go 6-0, and that doesn't mean I'm a genius either.
Yeah.
You know, it's just people overreact. I am a genius, but people overreact to that.
I was waiting for that. By the way, I've been saying that about the NFL. I go, just because the bounces are going my way this year in the NFL, I know, right, that long-term – I'm not the guy who's probably going to beat the NFL. And so when I was getting the bounces going against me in previous years, I wasn't an idiot, and now I'm not a genius. Like, you have to be sort of humble about that as well. Let's give people a chance to complain about you again, Bob, this week. Let's go to college football and a Big 12 clash between Texas and Oklahoma State with the Longhorns favored by 6 and the total set at 60.5. What do you like here?
Well, the reason Texas is now favored by 6 is I bet them -4.5 on Monday, and the market moves when I make my plays. And I still think this line is too low. I mean, I said this a few weeks ago when they played Texas Tech. I said Texas Tech is going to gain 500 yards on Oklahoma State, and they did. Texas Tech outgained Oklahoma State in that game and somehow lost by 10. And last week, the funny thing is, Oklahoma State lost by 3 in overtime. It was their first loss of the season last week. That was actually their best game that they played all season, statistically, when you take opponent and site into account. Last week was Oklahoma State's best game of the season. It still wasn't great. They ended up losing the game. Texas, meanwhile, is 5-2, but they rank in the top 10 in both my offensive and defensive compensated yards per play ratings. Texas has averaged 6.9 yards per play. They have allowed 4.8 yards per play, excluding garbage time against ULM. And they've outgained those opponents by 2.1 yards per play, despite facing a schedule of teams that's 5.5 points better than an average team and half a yard per play better than an average team. So they are one of the best teams in the country offensively and defensively. And their losses, 1 point to Alabama, and they might have won that game if Quinn Ewers didn't get hurt in that game, because he was slicing up Alabama's defense. The other loss was to Texas Tech in a game in which Texas averaged 7.1 yards per play and allowed 4.8 yards per play. So they have a one-point loss to Alabama, and they somehow lost to Texas Tech despite outgaining them by 2.3 yards per play. So Texas is an elite team with not an elite record, and I think that's why the spread isn't even higher. Now, Oklahoma State has the one loss they had last week. But the Cowboys have averaged this season against FBS teams 5.7 yards per play, very mediocre. They've allowed 5.9 yards per play. And they've been outgained both in yards per play and in total yards by 30-something yards per game against the five FBS teams they played. And the teams they played aren't as good as the teams that Texas has played. You know, Oklahoma State's schedule is only 4 points better than average and 0.3 yards per play better than average. So they played an easier schedule and have been much worse than Texas. And so they just have a better record because they've been lucky in third down conversions. We talked about this before. Their defense is, like I said, giving up 5.9 yards per play, which is not good. But they're only giving up 27% third down conversions. A defense that bad or that mediocre is not going to continue to give up only 27% on third downs. That is just not the way it works. So there's some luck that's been involved in them not being as bad as they should be. And the other thing I like about it, aside from Texas being such a better team than Oklahoma State, is it's meant to be pretty windy in Stillwater this weekend. Mid-teen kind of winds with gusts into the, you know, mid to high 20s, which usually leads to more running. That's not something that Oklahoma State is particularly good at. They're a bad running team. They average only 4.2 yards per running play, which is, you know, worse than, you know, they're about half a yard per running play worse than average based on the opponents they face. And Texas has a very strong run defense. They've only allowed 3.8 yards per running play against the scheduled teams that would average 5.2 yards per running play against an average defense. So if Oklahoma State cannot, if the wind is bothering teams throwing the ball, which it should, that's going to affect Oklahoma State, who does not have a good running game and won't be able to run against Texas. While Texas has a good running game, Oklahoma State has a pretty good run defense, but it's not as good as the Texas run offense. They have two great running backs. So the wind is also an advantage for Texas in this game. So I just think it's a blowout. I think they're going to win by two touchdowns. So Texas is, I laid 4.5 on Monday. It's still a good bet. I'd lay up to 7 for sure.
Lay up to 7 for sure. The Lombardi line is next. No, I'm kidding, Bob. See, I'm encouraging them. Thank you for that. Texas minus 6. Bob's play of the day right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Appreciate it, Bob. We will talk to you next week, sir.
All right. Thank you.
drbobsports.com at drbobsports on Twitter for Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob Stoll. How about that? Dr. Bob and Right Angle on the same show today. Pillars. Pillars in this industry. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk more NFL. We'll let you know what bets we have in pocket in the National Football League for Week 7. I mentioned on the Megapod that I like the Cardinals as the third best bet. I'll let you know what the first two were, and I've put those in the account already. Kelly's got a bunch of bets as well. Got to talk about a couple of NBA games real briefly that happened last night, too. The Sixers and the Lakers, both on pace to go 0-82, Kelly.
Disasters.
Abject disasters. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Visa Pro subscribers get access to the best betting talent in the game. If you haven't subscribed yet, shame on you, first of all. But second of all, VSiN has a midseason offer to make you a smarter better. How about that? Sign up now for just $99 to get VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl. You'll get everything VSiN has to offer, including our 24/7 live shows and subscriber-only betting guides to College Bowl season and the Super Bowl, all for less than the normal monthly rate. You'll also get VSiN subscriber-only prep guides to the NHL, NBA, and World Cup. It's the best bet in the game. $99 for VSiN Pro now through the Super Bowl. That is it. Sign up at VSiN.com/subscribe. If you're wondering what goes on here during commercial breaks, I can assure you that Mystical is being jammed at top volume.
Danger!
Watch yourself. It's our little theme song. I don't know why we do it. We're just into it.
I know. Kev started singing it, and then I had to play it, you know.
And then snowballs. Then things get out of
snowballs,
hand.
Snowballs, yeah.
It's like a dance-off in here. It's a whole thing.
And then Kevin was very sad we had to come back from break.
He's like, okay, fine.
Great, I got to listen to these two bozos.
These guys talk about basketball and football. All right, so two games last night in the NBA. I was just curious. You got home finally with your Clippers bet.
Oh yeah,
but
that was sweaty.
This was interesting beyond your bet, and congratulations because you had what? You laid 5.5. They won by 6. Clippers did
laid 5, won by 6 with some kind of phantom loose ball foul on Patrick Beverley at the end. I didn't have the volume up, but I was very confused over what was happening. Bob Covington to the line down 4, sinks 2 free throws for the cover.
Beautiful thing for you. How about Kawhi?
Yes.
Not getting in till late second quarter. And the word is afterwards now that this is the Clippers, at least for now, This is the Clippers strategy with Kawhi Leonard and this new version of load management. Like, and Kawhi is on board with this, where they have figured out that not having him rest in between stints on the court is the way to go. Like, in other words, minimizing those long breaks.
Right.
So get him in the game later to start with.
Right. Get him in the game later, and then you're basically playing him what would be a normal rotation, normal kind of minutes within a game from there. So I think it's an interesting strategy. It's definitely going to bring up betting opportunities. I mean, there's things of, I think it's going to be interesting to see how books adjust first quarter lines and stuff like that, right? If you know you're really not going to see Kawhi Leonard until the second quarter, and Gil, we were talking about this before the show, so I kind of backed my way into two winners last night because I did end up hitting on the Clippers, but I'm sitting there watching the game, and I knew Kawhi was going to be coming off the bench, but okay, watch the first quarter. He doesn't come in at all. Second quarter starts. He doesn't come in at all, and it's about halfway through the second quarter. Go to commercial break, and I'm like, Lakers are down 12. I'm getting off this Clippers bet. Like, this is, I don't know what's going on with Kawhi. I grabbed a plus 10.5 at the time on the Lakers, so I ended up middling and hitting both. But, of course, as soon as they come back from commercial, Kawhi comes in the game. And I really watched it from there. He looked good. I thought he looked good. Settled for too many jumpers. I wanted to see him attacking more just to see really how healthy he looked. But, man, he looked good in the minutes that he played. And then, yeah, it was pretty consistent, the workload that he had once he got into the game.
Yeah. The other game last night, Sixers lose. They go to 0-2. They lose to the Bucks, 90-88. In a game that the Sixers mounted a real comeback in. They were down double digits, and they actually led late, and then it just didn't work out for them in the end. And what does their box score look like? James Harden, who missed a shot with 4 seconds left. He ends up with 31, that after a 35-point performance in game one. Still dribbling 1,000 times. He took 24 shots.
Yep.
He was 13 of 24 from the field, only 1 for 7 from behind the arc. But really, if you look up and down this box score, Embiid, all you really need to see here, Embiid, 6 of 21, Kelly. And yeah. So I guess my thing is, and you have to preface it by saying it's only two games, and they did play the Celtics, and they did play the Bucks. However, I do feel like I have to say that whenever I heard people be high on the Sixers this offseason or talk about any other team but the Warriors in the Western Conference, what's my line? I'm always like, are we learning anything? Have we learned anything? And so there is a little, and I get it, it's premature. The Sixers could end up being the greatest team in basketball, but so far the same problems. Right? And the bench isn't giving him anything.
I was going to say, that's my biggest concern. I mean, Joel Embiid hasn't been, he has not been great these first two games, but that's not your concern if you're a 76ers backer. It is the fact that your biggest concern heading into the season was the bench, and they've given you nothing. D'Anthony Melton was a great guy to bring in. He gave you 9 points last night. Other than that, it's house with 4 and 0 for everybody else. That's a concern. James Harden, though, I think for betting purposes, if you're looking at player props and stuff, I don't think this is slowing down anytime soon with James Harden and the usage and the shots that he's putting up. This is going to turn more and more, and I think if, as long as Harden's in shape and playing well, which he seemingly is, 1 for 7 from downtown last night, but still, I think you could look at him to hit over on some player props and points and assists here early in the season.
All right, NFL. Bets in pocket for the National Football League week number 7 and Survivor Thoughts. First, the bets that I've already made in addition to the Cardinals last night. Took the Seahawks, Kelly, plus the 5 against the Chargers. And this is less of a pro-Seahawks move.
Yeah.
Though, I certainly love what Pete Carroll has done on offense. Hate to say it. Been a great running game, and Geno's been fantastic. He's been right about all that. Now, their defense up until last week was just a horror show. So there's that. But the point is, I don't trust the Chargers, and it looks like there's no Keenan Allen again. I don't trust the Chargers to cover anything. Could they? Sure. It's the National Football League.
Yeah, with you and I talking last night, we both ended up submitting our contest plays early. Not
yes.
A bet for me, but this ended up being, I guess I'll take plus 5 with the Seahawks because I'm not coming up with much better.
This is a contest pick for me, too. I just don't trust the Chargers in any way, shape, or form. And then the other one I have is this is interesting. I did take the Patriots minus the 8.5, and I believe I said, I don't know if it was the Megapod or here on a numbers game where I said, I don't know how Bill Belichick's going to beat Matt Eberflus. I just know that he is. If you juxtapose that or dovetail that in with Survivor and the Christian McCaffrey trade, Remember last week I made the horrible error of I was going to play the Rams and the Chargers in Survivor, and I ended up just switching the Chargers out to the Bucks, and so I lost an entry that way. Well, all week I've been thinking to myself, I'm going to take the Patriots in Survivor, which they're going to be the number one most picked team. Now, that's not like I don't like playing Survivor that way. That's not how you should play Survivor. But it is also impossible to think that you will play Survivor optimally for all 18 or, in the case of Circa, 20 weeks. There are going to be some weeks where you end up on the most picked team. But like this McCaffrey trade now is sort of nudging me back to the Bucks, who are huge road favorites against the Panthers. And so now I'm asking myself, Kelly, and this is the tricks your mind plays with you in Survivor, are the Patriots more likely to somehow lay an egg and get beat by the Bears? Because here's the thing about the Bears. They have been competitive, and the Patriots are a great front-running team. But if they fall behind, might they lose a football game outright? And I'm not so sure the answer to that isn't, yeah, they might. And the Bucs, having lost to Pittsburgh on the road, with an angry Tom Brady now on the road against a lifeless Panthers team now without Robbie Anderson or Christian McCaffrey, are they really as likely to lose as the Patriots might be? And I'm starting to go back to the Buccaneers as a Survivor pick. And so therefore, if that gets through, I will be in the position Monday night of having a Patriots against the spread bet, but hoping they lose outright for Survivor purposes. So the only outcome I'll hate is if the Patriots win by less than 8.
Yeah, you will. I guess it's interesting the way we look at this, because the Patriots, you know, as our viewer listener pointed out the other day, I haven't been high on them all year. Yeah, I haven't been high on them all year.
I think
Mac Jones is coming back here, though. I'm really not high on this Bears team. And on the other hand, I have been the guy who's kind of been champion weekly here. Hey, this Bucs team's getting healthier. These wide receivers are getting back. They're going to start clicking here. And if last week wasn't the perfect example of, hey, these guys are back and you're still not doing anything and you're losing on the road in Pittsburgh to a banged-up Steelers team, I'm done with them for right now, Gil. I got to see it before I lay any money on this team going forward. I need to see it first that this offense can actually put something together. So if I were in your shoes, I'm not, because I'm completely knocked out of Survivor. If I were in your shoes, I think I'd still go Patriots, but that's because I'm in my head. You're in your head on this.
It's funny how that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you bet so far?
I bet so far, Bucks Panthers under 40.5. Bet this before the Christian McCaffrey trade, only looking better now, so I like that. Under 40.5, I'm on a Bengals Raiders money line parlay. Chiefs 2.5 laid on the opener. That is down to 2 everywhere now. Down to 2 everywhere now, but Gil, I guess we haven't heard officially, but I heard in a report today McCaffrey not expected to play this weekend, so I hope people aren't running to bet the 49ers just because of that today.
Yeah.
And then I did make a teaser yesterday, one teaser for this week. Jets, when they were still sitting plus 1.5 out here, took them up to 7.5 and took the Pats down to 2.
All right. That's what you have in pocket. By the way, Joe Pita, we get tweets, we get texts. Joe Pita, frequent guest of the show, friend of the show, texting in. He said about the Taylor Swift about the Taylor Swift promo last night.
My favorite part of the game.
He said, I see you and Kelly are celebrating the release of Taylor Swift's album by wearing lavender. I'm going to call it a purple, Joe, or an eggplant for lavender.
No, he's right in the right area, though.
He goes, yes, I have a 16-year-old who went through each track. Lavender is a theme, like the Zapruder tape at midnight, 9 p.m. Pacific last night. I'm sure there are a lot of teenage girls around the country doing the exact same thing.
Let's go, T-Swift.
It was so awkward, wasn't it?
It was so awkward.
Oh, my goodness.
And Kirk did the hard right turn. He's like, anyways, so back to the game.
Back to the ball game, Al. We'll read your tweets. We'll get the Premier League picks from Paul Carr on the other side, going for a 5th straight winning week on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Attention, BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Listen up. Just sign in to your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement at BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Site credit expires in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. We get tweets. That beating the book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Xavier. Xavier 82. Is that Xavier 82? Gil, I literally wrote down the Panthers' schedule yesterday before the Christian McCaffrey trade, and you can fade them in Survivor in weeks 8, 9, 11, 14, and 17 easy, and now maybe more. I'd say maybe more. And like I said, I've done it already in weeks 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, they real bad. Real bad.
They real bad.
They real bad.
It's Kelly's analysis on this. That's your pro tip. They real bad. Web12-66, the angriest guy in New Jersey. You ready for this? Said, of course, Dr. Bob's the kind of guy you can't have any fun with. Comes with a territory, Bob. Bob is not into self-deprecation. Angriest guy in New Jersey. This is from Teddy Covers 96. Not that Teddy Covers. By the way, hello, Teddy Covers. Hope you're doing well. But from BD, Teddy Covers 96, he says, enjoying your Beating the Book podcast. But in Boston, in Massachusetts, we cannot bet yet legally, like you said in the California commercial. I just read what's in front of me, man. Sorry if we got that wrong. Apologies. Apologies if I Ron Burgundy threw that. This is from Scott at Mad Marine 77. He says, perfect fit for McCaffrey, an always banged up running back to a team that goes through three running backs a season because they're always hurt. By the way, let me just tell you this, Scott. Every one of us had this exact same thought yesterday when the trade was made in some form. We're like, the Niners completely go through running backs. And like I said, McCaffrey, before this season, missed 23 of 33 games. Mm-hmm. Now, again, he's played 85% of snaps this year. We all hope, as football fans, he can stay healthy. But obviously, the biggest phrase of this entire trade is, if he can stay healthy.
Yep.
And we don't know. And it's because of that I wasn't as impacted by this like as most people were, I think. Most people are like, oh, my God, this is blockbuster. I don't know yet. Can he stay on the field? I hope so.
Yeah, you got to see that. I mean, look, from a team fit side of things, Gil, right? It's perfect, right? I mean, McCaffrey going to the Niners, love to run the ball anyways. It makes a huge impact. But yeah, can he stay healthy? Also, just talk about the game this week. Wait, a 2-point shift in that Bucs line? Really? McCaffrey worth 2 points? I don't know. I might end up on a real gross Panthers bet this week.
Really?
I'm considering it.
Great moments in betting history, living through that.
Yeah.
As Charles Boyle said, gamblers / people who are tuning into VSiN just to get picks and not really paying attention to all the free info given, do not get it. All you guys, including guests, do an awesome job, especially with the info on why they're making a pick. Thank you, Charles. Appreciate that. And on with the tweets. Always appreciate that. Coming up, Right Angle Sports, Mike and Mike from Right Angle Sports going to join us next hour, as well as Matt Brown, Adam Burke. We're looking forward to all that. But first, going for a fifth straight winning week in the Premier League, it's Paul Carr, everybody. How you doing, Paul?
I'm good. I need to jump on what Kelly said about maybe holding his nose and betting the Panthers. I had him plus 12.5 in a boosted parlay last week against the Rams, and it's a very helpless feeling in the second half when the Rams get up by 14, and you're like, how are they? They've got Panthers have to go how many yards to get? It was very helpless, and now they don't have the guy who had like 80% of their yardage last week.
Yeah, by the way, this is great for the Niners. They're going for it. This is great for the Panthers. Uh-huh. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. Go for one of these young quarterbacks coming out of college. This is an awesome college football quarterback crop coming out. And you've been through it. You've been through Darnold and Mayfield and the end of Cam, P.J. Walker, and Greer's on your, like, I mean, just you got to get somebody. Because I don't know if you know this, Paul. You're nothing in this league without a quarterback.
I've heard. As a Dolphins fan, who has endured 20 years since Marino, I'm very aware of this.
Washington fan here raising his hand. Tell me about it. Recognized game, as they say. Who was that, MC Breed? Who was that, Kelly? Check on that, would you? Okay. So before we get to your Premier League picks, and again, you are going for a fifth straight winning week with your Premier League picks. We have three coming up. I'm not the biggest soccer guy in the world. Most people know that. Kelly, you a big soccer guy?
I find myself betting on it on occasion.
Okay.
Not a big soccer fan.
But the one thing that you might know me for, Paul, I'm not sure the audience does, but you certainly do, because I brought him up a couple times, is when Steven Gerrard played at Liverpool, just if you ever want to entertain yourself with a goal montage, there's like a YouTube clip with all 180 plus of his goals at Liverpool, one more dramatic than the previous. And he was he was the manager at Aston Villa, and he has been scuttled. Is that the latest?
Yeah, Aston Villa lost 3-0 to Fulham yesterday in a game that was every bit as bad as the scoreline sounds. And I tell you, the shots of him on the bench in that game, they were like every shot of every head coach or manager you ever see who just knows he's going to get fired.
That's awful.
He's just sitting there like, boy, this is, I mean, Villa is expected to be like a mid-table type of team, maybe push for the upper half a little more. They've been kind of unlucky. Like, their underlying numbers, their expected goals, they're underachieving by about 6 goals, which is a pretty huge number for an 11-game sample size so far. There's been some bad luck, and they haven't been playing well. And, you know, all that adds up to, you know, you're in the relegation zone, and that is worth so much money that these Premier League teams don't mess around. So it was kind of the consensus, even among Villa fans. It was time to make a change because something's got to get better. But there was also some bad luck that just compounded everything.
Yeah, well, sorry to see. Sorry to see for one of soccer's, or one of football's, I should say, greats, certainly on the pitch. We're talking to Paul Carr from True Media Sports, the host of the Expected Value podcast. You can follow him on Twitter, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R. Let's get to it. Paulie, what do you got this week?
All right, we are starting tomorrow with Manchester City and Brighton. I have been playing the over 3.5 at plus 115. It might look like a bit of an odd play only because Brighton's been shut out in 3 straight games, but we'll go at it from a couple angles. One is Manchester City's at home, and Man City on its own has scored 4 goals in every home game this season. So they've covered the 3.5 by themselves in all 5 or 6 home games this year. And Brighton really hasn't been that bad the last few games. 54 shots over 3 games, and over 4 expected goals despite no actual goals. And they've shown that they go toe-to-toe with the big guys. They played Liverpool to a 3-3 draw. They beat Manchester United earlier this year 2-1. They're not the we're going to bunker and try to steal a point type of team. So I expect this to be fairly open. Man City will likely dominate like Man City always does. I think there will be goals. Erling Haaland's probably going to score because that's what he does. So over 3.5 plus 115 is the price I got.
All right, Man City Brighton over 3.5 goals on Saturday. Paul got it at plus 115, but with all these, always shop around for the price. Let's go to Sunday. You have another total on Sunday.
Sunday, let's see, Fulham and Leeds over 2.5, minus 125, I think is the price I got it at. And before we get to the betting angle, like, but just from an American standpoint, there could be 4 Americans starting in this game.
Stop it.
Leeds is coached by American Jesse Marsh. 4. It hasn't happened since 2008 in the Premier League.
Wow.
Cool.
So, yeah. And 3 of them, I mean, Tyler Adams, Brendan Aaronson, and who am I missing on the Fulham side? Anthony Robinson will likely start for the U.S. at the World Cup. Tim Ream is kind of a fringe roster guy. So just from I like soccer, I'm getting ready for the World Cup, this is a pretty good game to watch on Sunday.
Cool.
As for the bet, so yeah, over 2.5, minus 125. Until yesterday, Fulham did not have a shutout all year. They have one of the leakiest defenses in the league. Leeds is not the kind of run-and-gun style that they were last year under Bielsa. Jesse Marsh has tamed them down a little bit, but you know, they got shut out yesterday by Leicester, but they're still, you know, they had plenty of shots and opportunities. They just didn't finish. So I like over 2.5. It's just Fulham games have had the most, I think, goals and expected goals so far this season. So I like over 2.5 here.
All right. And then what we like to call your K-pop play, the BTS, or really a BTTS. Both teams score in which game on Sunday?
Oh, it's Leicester City away. What else would it be?
Of course.
Wolves and Leicester City. This is just an auto bet for me right now. 28 out of 31 games for Leicester on the road have had over 2.5 goals. But both teams to score, rather. And Wolves is not good offensively. I think they're 17th in the league in expected goals. But a couple weeks ago, Leicester was at Bournemouth. Bournemouth is the worst offensive team in the league, and Bournemouth still scratched together a goal, had over 1 expected goal, so it wasn't like a fluky bounce or anything. They had plenty of chances. Leicester City, porous defense, especially on the road. So I like both teams to score here, minus 135 is the price I got.
All right, 28 of 31 away Leicester City games. Both teams have scored. So it's Man City Brighton over 3.5. That is tomorrow, yep. And then Sunday Leeds Fulham over 2.5 goals, and then the Wolverhampton, Leicester City, both teams to score a bet. That on Sunday as well. Paul Carr going for his fifth straight winning week. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
All right, let's go get it done.
Let's get it done. Kelly, you hear that BTS, they had to do a mandatory military service, so they got to disband the group, the K-pop group?
Wait, we talked about that quickly earlier in the week, but like, they're disbanding?
Well, I mean, they're taking like a long break to do military service. Can you imagine if they did that to the Backstreet Boys back in the day? Whew. Changes everything. Right Angle Sports, Mike and Mike next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.